Everyone, this is Jerry Pippin, and we have Paul Davids with us on the line from Santa Fe, New Mexico. He has a new film out, Before We Say Goodbye. And we're listening to the title theme from the motion picture. Actually, was 3 years in the making, Paul. And you filmed almost entirely in New Mexico with a New Mexican cast. Well, you, actually, you did go down into Mexico itself for some pretty important scenes. But by and large, Paul Davids, you've been spending a lot of time in New Mexico. By the way, welcome to the show.
Jerry, it's become a second home for me over the last couple of years. And the last year, I've been in production on a feature film for the entire year in New Mexico.
Yeah, we opened up with the theme music for the film, and Paul, all of the reviews I've heard from people who saw it at the special preview you had in Roswell, they were just dynamic. I mean, people really enjoyed the movie. It was quite emotional, I understand. And we had a chance there to talk to your co-star, or one of the co-stars in the movie.
That's Isabella Montez.
Yes.
That you were able to meet in Roswell, a co-star of the film, who grew up in Roswell and graduated from Roswell High, coincidentally. Beautiful young actress.
Yeah, we're going to play part of that interview in a minute with Isabella. But before we do that, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about this film?
It's called Before We Say Goodbye. The way this came about was from a stage play I saw in New Mexico. It was by an Hispanic writer out of Albuquerque named Patricia Crespin, and very talented writer. She wrote a play called We Are Hispanic American Women, Okay? Loved the title, loved the story and the dialogue. It was a very simple play. It had five women in one kitchen talking about every aspect of their lives. With such honesty, it was very moving. And it also dealt with the larger issues of life and death, because the mother of four grown children, who's Hispanic and is about Catholic, is apparently soon going to lose her husband to cancer. And her one appeal for a miracle would be to the Virgin of Guadalupe, which, of course, is embedded in the Hispanic culture. 2 years to develop it into a screenplay that took it out of the one kitchen and had locations throughout New Mexico, including at the pyramids in Mexico City. And eventually, we finally got permission from the Catholic Church to film with our actors for a couple of days at the Basilica of the Virgin of Guadalupe.
Paul, that's actually quite a feat.
I don't think it's ever been done before in an English-speaking film. I don't know what they've done in Spanish or in Mexico, but for a film with actors, a story film from the United States, particularly what would be considered a small independent film, that's never happened before. But I think that, well, I know that they approved of the screenplay. We had to send it to them for them to review and decide that, you know, that this would be appropriate. And it was. I mean, it's a family story with a main character who's a devout Catholic. I'm interested in exploring all kinds of things about belief, religion, life after death, miracles, faith, what is reality, even the paranormal. You know, there's been such a variety of topics in my films, and when I did Timothy Leary's Dead, he was dealing with a lot of those same subjects, but from the point of view of a psychedelic pioneer rather than a devout Catholic. He was a fallen away Catholic. Well, this time we took the other approach and came up with a film that audiences are finding very, very moving. I can't tell you where you can see this yet. We have a wonderful website where you can see the trailer and hear some of the music and learn all about it and see what audiences thought about it.
Well, we have a link to that here on the webpage, but a large part of our audience, they listen away from the computer with one of those digital devices such as the iPod. And so why don't you go ahead and give it.
Before We Say Goodbye, the movie. Hispanic.com so far. We showed it at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, where there was an outpouring of enthusiasm and raves for the movie. People said it made them laugh, it made them cry. It was a roller coaster of wonderful emotions. It's very satisfying at the end when it deals with the question of miracles.
Paul Davids, I know your father, he was a professor at a Catholic university.
I didn't go to Catholic university. My father was a professor for 40 years at Georgetown University.
Okay.
And that is a Jesuit university. So my father, although not a Catholic, taught among the Catholic priests there for his entire career. So though I'm not a Catholic, I was raised with a great appreciation of Catholicism and still feel that strongly. I think the film is going to be moving to everyone, no matter your culture, although it centers on a Hispanic American family. But it transcends the culture itself to get at the core human values of what we all go through, searching and faith and hope and despair and religious belief. So that's how I spent the last, 3 years, including the writing of the script. We showed it in Roswell, of course. It was sponsored by the Department of Tourism and the City of Roswell, and we had a sneak preview on the 4th of July, right before the fireworks. Again, the people just loved it. They gave testimonials afterwards at how much it moved them.
Paul, let's play a little bit of that interview we did in Roswell with Isabella and you. It's pretty noisy, but hey, they have big crowds there. Listen.
But I was fortunate to meet Isabella Montes and cast her for the role of Graciela in the movie. And Isabella, can you tell us who Graciela is and a little bit about the story?
Of course. Thank you, Jerry, for having me. My name is Isabella. Hello. Graciela is an immigrant living in the U.S., and she is in this wonderful relationship that where there's problems, you know, there's an alcoholic boyfriend and, you know, just a basic relationship that... what was so great about working actually with Paul was that it was just supposed to be one scene, and they actually wrote a few more scenes in there for Nick and I. So it was just a really great experience, and I'm really happy to be able to contribute to such a great film.
The role kept expanding.
Now, where do you live now?
I live in Albuquerque. I am from Roswell, born and raised. I'm a coyote. So, but I'm actually down here just for the 4th of July to visit family.
See, and Nick Lopez is your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tell us a little bit about his family and the theme of the film as you see it.
Well, one thing that I have to say about this film is that it doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, Chicano, New Mexican. If you come and watch this film, there's something that you're going to relate to. So, you know, Nick and his family, it's a traditional, basic Mexican family, Hispanic family. And there's, you know, problems where the mother is just trying to keep the family together. She's trying to, you know, fix relationships and pray to the Virgin Mary in order to fix everything. And, you know, sometimes these relationships, it's just hard to get out of and hard to fix, you know, problems, but that's family, and that's everyday life, and so the dynamic of that family is just having to come together and just...
The mother of the four grown children in the family, her husband Carlos, is dying.
Yes.
And Carlos is the wise one of the family, and he's ready to go to heaven. He's ready to say his goodbyes, mm-hmm. but no one else is able
ready.
To let Carlos go.
No. And Carlos, he is such a great actor. Carlos, he was amazing. He's so funny. He was so great.
F.X. Gorolagal, who we all call Javier.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention is that my mother is extremely religious, loves the Virgin Mary, and when she saw this film, my mother is the mother in the film. Like, that is exactly who my mother is, so it's just, she loves the film. I thought it was great. It was amazing, and we had such a great crowd as well.
Is this your first film?
No, it's not my first film. Actually, I was in a play. I was in one of Patricia's plays, and that's my relationship with Patricia, who's the writer, and that's how basically I was associated to this film. So
a lot of film work in New Mexico.
There is a lot of work, actually. A lot of people don't really realize that in Albuquerque and in New Mexico, everywhere, there's always someone who's casting or movies being filmed, even if they're independent films.
Thank you. And Isabella?
Yes, Jerry?
We look forward to seeing more
thank
on the
you.
Screen.
Oh, thank you.
On a TV
so.
Show near you.
Well, Paul, you and I weren't mic'd very well. A lot of audience around us, evidently a lot of crowd, but Isabella sounded good. Well, what's next with this movie?
And our plan from here is this, Jerry. The first weekend in September, we're going up to Las Vegas, New Mexico, where we filmed some of the movie. And we are going to restage the stage play at Highlands University there. I think it'll be shown for two nights with the original cast, and we will show the movie twice. And we will have a panel where Patricia Crespin, the stage play writer, and she wrote the screenplay with me and is a co-producer of the movie, she and I will have a panel and answer questions and explain how you take a play like that and turn it into a movie. So I'm really looking forward to that first weekend of September.
Okay, now that'll be in Las Vegas, New Mexico, over Labor Day weekend. Beautiful, beautiful area.
And by the way, Jerry, also very much looking forward to the next weekend in September. I think it's the 9th to the 12th, isn't it, Angel
right.
Fire?
That's right. You'll be there at Angel Fire this year. We were there last year, and this year you're going to be there to speak at the Paranormal Symposium, plus you have a film festival.
There is a new film festival that I agreed to be the chair. Let me tell your listeners first what is happening in Angel Fire between the 9th and the 12th of September. There is an organization called ASPE, A-S-P-E, which stands for Alliance for Studying Paranormal Experience. Very enterprising group, coming out of this small town, Angel Fire, New Mexico, run by a lady who's very devoted to these subjects, Janet Saylor.
Yes, Janet is quite a lady. Last year we were there, and of course we'll be there again this year, broadcasting from the Angel Fire Lodge. We'll be right at the top of the stairway on the mezzanine. You can't miss us.
She has put together 4 days of outstanding speakers on all kinds of paranormal topics. You know, I'm used to appearing at various UFO conferences, and we always focus on everything that is UFO-centered, and we stretch it sometimes out into crop circles because we don't know the origins of crop circles, and they cover those other, those other conferences. They cover every aspect of the UFO, including abductions. But they don't get into the other paranormal phenomena, which are so interesting. I am particularly interested in the mystery of life after death, spiritualism, mediums, the history of seances and what the facts are about seances, those that may not be worth putting any stock in versus those that may have produced some actual results. I'm interested in the scientific study of the question of life after death. What is the evidence for it? I've been working on another film on that topic, tentatively called The Life After Death Project. And Professor Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona out of Tucson has made a tremendous contribution, along with so many other distinguished people in the field, including Danian Brinkley. Even Whitley Strieber has made a contribution, and his wife Ann Strieber, who is an executive producer of the new film. Be that as it may, that film won't be ready for this festival. But we've added a film festival to the Alliance for Studying Paranormal Experience conference in Angel Fire. And we'll be showing a variety of films that touch on all different topics of the paranormal.
You know, Paul, last year's symposium was terrific. I mean, they had some great speakers and great participation from the audience. I can't say enough about it. I'm certainly glad that Janet Saylor insisted that I come up there and broadcast. And I'm looking forward to it again this year.
You know, there's a cute thing about the film festival that I enjoy. When Janet asked me to become involved, this was after I had spent 2 years as chairman of the festival of the International UFO Congress in Laughlin, where they give the EBE Award, the EBE Award.
Right.
Now, that conference, as you know, has now moved out of Laughlin and will be in Phoenix or Scottsdale, Phoenix area, next year. And I don't know if they're going to continue a film festival there, but for our film festival, I tried to think of something new by way of an award that we would give. And I thought of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Sherlock Holmes, who was an ardent believer in spiritualism and mediums and contact with those who have passed on. So I thought, well, let's give an award in honor of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. We call it the Sir Arthur Award.
We all know what Oscar looks like, a little statue. What does the Sir Arthur Award look like?
Yeah, it's the award has an emblem of it looks like Sherlock Holmes. You see him with his pipe, and you make out the top of his cape and his recognizable hat, but he has angel wings.
Now, Paul, on Thursday, you actually have a Hollywood cocktail party, and that'll be up at the Laguna Vista Hotel. But the rest of it will be at the Angel Fire Resort.
Well, I'm sure I will be there. By the way, I will be speaking, in addition to handling the film festival, I will be speaking there, not about UFOs this time, but about the investigation into life after death and how I've been directly involved in such an investigation that has involved two universities over the course of the past year. These things will show up in my film. So I'm one of the speakers, but they have terrific speakers.
You're right, Paul. It's as good a lineup as anybody has anywhere in the country, and it's all there in Angel Fire, New Mexico. For instance, Stanton Friedman will be doing a major speech on Friday night, and you can go over to the aspie.org website and see how much it costs. You'll find, in fact, I know you'll be surprised. It's not that expensive.
Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, will be there. Michael Horn, who has done so much research on the Billy Meier case, and who is probably one of its most ardent supporters. He's made a very compelling documentary about Billy Meier. And he'll be talking about Meier and Meier's prophecies and how some of those prophecies have worked out. I see Chris O'Brien is on the speaker list. Chris and I have known each other for years. He's a UFO investigator who for years has gotten into the area of cattle mutilation and has written a number of books about, I think it's called the San Luis Valley, where there's been so much phenomena reported.
Yeah, in Colorado.
Yes, in Colorado. Dennis Balthizer, who I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Well, gentleman Dennis is. You know, I mispronounced his name for 5 or 6 years before finally he said it's Balthazer, Jerry. Balthazer. I hope I got it right.
Dennis Balthazer. He's a master of ceremonies. He's done a lot of research on the Roswell case, and I understand now he's researching that and Area 51 and underground bases. And he also spends some time on the origin of the pyramid.
Yeah, you know, Dulce is not that far from Angel Fire. They're pretty close.
These stories are incredible, aren't they? And they go back to the whole story of what happened to Paul Benowitz as he investigated the Dulce mystery. There's a terrific book about that, by the way. I like the book so much. It's by Greg Bishop.
Yeah, Greg Bishop. We've had him on the air several times. He has his own radio show, by the way.
And do you remember the name of the book?
Yeah, I think it's called Project Beta, the Paul Benowitz story.
Angel Fire, by the way, it's a high elevation for those of you thinking of coming. It's about 8,500 feet. So I like to come to Santa Fe first, you know, to be there for a while, which is at 7,000 feet, and acclimate. Some people don't have any problem at all with altitude, but it's about an hour from Taos, and I haven't been there before, but I understand it is extraordinarily beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful in September. Of course, it's a ski lodge, And you don't get snow usually that early. Well, last year we got a little bit, so you need to bring some warm clothes. It's beautiful up there, though, Paul.
I think, in fairness, I should read the names of the other speakers, even though I may not be so familiar with their work. Antonio Garces, Robert Schmalzbach, Marisa Ryan, Dee Gregg, Nancy DeYoung, Tara Ray, and the Blooming Bushwomen.
Yeah, those ladies are talented. They're pretty good singers and entertainers, and they do something at 2:30 on Thursday afternoon. I know for a fact they'll be around the whole weekend, Paul.
I think also of note is the fact that John Greenwald, very prominent in the UFO community for so many years, who is a television producer who's dealt not only with UFOs but also other historical topics of historical mysteries, including the Templars. John Greenwald will be the keynote speaker there. And he has the Black Vault as his website, which has so many thousands of declassified documents of interest to all of your listeners.
Yeah, John Greenwald has his own radio show, too, and that Black Vault, boy, it's full of secrets. He knows how to dig those things out. Give him a big pat on the back for sure. But, Paul, frankly, I'm looking forward to hearing your lecture about crossing over to the other side.
It's become a compelling interest for me, Jerry, and I will touch on it briefly here, if I can be brief.
Sure.
I made a film called The Sci-Fi Boys. That came out on DVD in 2006. And it dealt with the history of special effects in movies and the influence of some of the early pioneers in science fiction. And one of the main people that the film concerned was Forrest J. Ackerman, who was the founder of Famous Monsters magazine back in 1958. It was the first monster magazine related to movies. And he was a walking encyclopedia of everything about imaginative cinema, whether horror, fantasy, or science fiction. And he became very famous for his Acker Mansion, which was a great estate in the Los Feliz area of Los Angeles, where every room was filled with the memorabilia, the props, the posters, the lobby cards, the books, everything related to imaginative movies. And I want to say a book has just come out. I wrote the preface for it. I so highly recommend it, called House of Ackerman, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. You can find it at Amazon.com, and it is filled with pictures of the Acker Mansion, many of which I provided. And John Landis wrote an introduction to it. So Ackerman and I had a close relationship. I met him when I was 11 years old, and I was close to him like an uncle or a second father, till he passed away in December 2008 at age 92. Now, he was a skeptic and not a believer in the afterlife, but when goaded by friends, he conceded that if it turned out after he passed away that he was wrong and there was a continuing conscious existence, and if it was possible for him to send messages to his friends, he would do it. Well, after Ackerman passed, a couple months later, we held an enormous tribute for him in Hollywood at the Egyptian Theater. Every seat was filled on the ground floor and in the balcony, and about 10 speakers extolled his great importance in this field. He was beloved by so many fans and made a great contribution, and deeply, deeply missed. Two filmmakers came in from Canada that weekend to show a documentary they had made about him. And they told me that they were absolutely spellbound because they felt sure that they had heard from Forrest J. Ackerman right before the tribute.
Wow.
While together, had some extremely unusual things happen that even involved Ackerman's name. And they said the coincidence, if this was a coincidence, the chance was one in, you know, several trillion. So that got my attention, certainly got my attention, and it was not even 10 days after that when I was alone in my home, the second home in Santa Fe. I had a document I had printed out with, you know, business contacts, meetings, phone calls from the previous year. I was doing my taxes. I was going over it all. And the document was fine. It was 24 pages, you know, nothing wrong with the printing. And I had it in my bedroom. I was going to climb into bed and review it. I went to the bathroom first for a few minutes. And when I came out, although there was no one else in the house, the document had been changed. It had been altered from what it was just 3 minutes before. There was no possible physical explanation for how this happened. There were four words suddenly blotted out by some kind of moist ink, and surgically precise, those four words.
Well, you have to tell us the four words, will you?
Yes. And essentially, it was spoke to Joe Amodi was the actual literal what it was, but contained within Amodi is the name Mo. And Fari Ackerman was a punster and someone who played with words, a jokester, and he would always look for the word within the word. And the word within the word here is Mo, spoke to Joe Mo. This is what was blacked out. Joe Mo was his closest caretaker, his closest friend in the world for the last 10 years or so of his life. And when I contacted Joe Mo, even before I could tell him about how my document was altered when no one else was there, he burst out with a story to me about how after the tribute, he believed that Fari Ackerman came and spoke to him, that Fari spoke to Joe Mo. And this document to me was as though it was a confirmation of that. Spoke to Joe Mo. I wanted to study it scientifically. I took it to two universities, the chemistry departments of Indiana University, where my cousin is the chairman of the department, a very, very famous chemist. And later he got New Jersey University's chemistry department involved. And they studied that ink over the course of almost a year. They used every piece of scientific equipment that was appropriate to study that and determine the chemistry and analyze the leak through, the bleed through, and what the chemicals were. And they are absolutely baffled. They cannot reproduce this in the laboratory. It's a long story, but it's an introduction to the story of what I've been through.
Well, you know I'm going to be there listening to your lecture, Paul. Fascinating stuff. Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's go over all this. Las Vegas, New Mexico, Labor Day weekend. That's about 70 miles from Santa Fe, I think. Pretty area, Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Labor Day weekend, first weekend in September, Highlands University. We're going to stage the play with the original cast of We Are Hispanic American Women, okay? That's the okay is part of the title. And we'll be showing Before We Say Goodbye, I believe, twice. So if you visit our website, BeforeWeSayGoodbyeTheMovie.com, we'll have it posted on the website within the next couple of weeks, exactly what the dates and locations are.
Then the following weekend will be in Angel Fire, New Mexico, at the second annual Paranormal Symposium. Oh, and also Film Festival this year. And you will be heading that.
Exactly. And I will mention that all that I've just told you about Forrest J. Ackerman is included in the new feature documentary project I'm working on.
I can't wait to see the documentary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul.
I really appreciate talking with you.
We'll see you at Angel Fire September 9 through 12.
See you soon. Thank you.
Always a joy talking to you. We're closing with a little bit of the soundtrack music from Before We Say Goodbye. And it's time to say goodbye. Until next time, cheers.